We began Monday looking at the first picture, seeking, looking for the ox. The struggle that comes from separation. We also looked at the second picture, seeing the traces, tracks, the footprints, catching a glimpse. Tuesday, the second day, we looked at the third and the fourth, for the first time finding the ox, not just the trace or the track, but the thing itself. Then the fourth picture, catching the ox itself. Still somewhat separate, and yet it is there. It has been caught. Perhaps we are wrestling with it, struggling with it, but no doubt it is there. We know to some extent what it is, where it is, how it is. Yesterday, we looked at the fifth and the sixth pictures, the fifth being taming the ox or herding the ox. Maintaining constancy in practice. Usually it happens gradually and slowly. Sometimes it just happens. It doesn't matter. But the separation between the self and that which it sincerely seeks is gone. With this, we find the sixth picture. Returning home, riding the ox. In a sense, here there has been another transformation. Before, we were honestly, sincerely trying, struggling, working. All of this is valuable and has its place. It must be done correctly, but it must be done. What I called the constant practice of right effort. With this sixth picture, beginning the second half now, going toward is now coming from. Do you see? Whereas we were going toward it, maybe at the first not even knowing which way, but desperately trying, then gradually getting a sense until it's almost right here in the palm of our hand. But once again, here we go from going toward coming from. Do you see? We can say the base is different. Up until now, naturally, there has been a tension, a struggle, and we have given ourselves honestly and sincerely to that. But with that sixth picture, In a sense, the work has been done, as it says in the beginning I read yesterday. The struggle, the fight, the struggle is over. Today, we will look at the seventh and eighth pictures. Then tomorrow, at the end, the last two, the ninth and the tenth pictures. The seventh picture is ox forgotten, man or person alone. In other words, if you look at the picture, the ox is gone. It's just the man, the person, in front of a small hermitage or hut. Perhaps the sun is going down. And he has his hands in gassho, in thanks, full of deep appreciation. But it's a very simple kind of a home. You might look carefully and see the whip and the tether that he had used in training, hanging on the wall of the hut. No need for them now. They had their place, but now they hang on the wall. In the beginning, the first picture also, there was no sight of the ox. And in the second picture, just the traces. Here, in this seventh picture, again, there is no ox, but it's completely different. There is no seeking for the ox either. You might say, it has been thoroughly, not the ox, this sounds like eating meat, but the experience has been thoroughly digested. There's no trace of the ox. It's just the person. The same as before, and yet completely different. From the outside, looks no different. Still wears the same clothes, still smiles, still cries. And yet, everything has been changed, transformed from the ground up. The prose, the written commentary. There are not two dharmas, and the ox is symbolic. The trap is left once the rabbit is snared or caught. The net abandoned once the fish is caught. Like gold from dross, gold is taken out of the dross, or moon emerging from clouds. The single beam shines prior to creation. Let me read it once more with necessary comment. There are not two dharmas, two truths. For example, the human being and the Buddha nature, or being and non-being. Originally, there are not two dharmas, truths. And the ox is symbolic. So it's almost humorous here. The ox is gone. It was just a symbol anyway, just as well. If we hold on to that image and we want to turn it into something, then we have been snared, caught, trapped by the very thing that sets us free. So naturally, now the ox is gone. The second line, the trap is left once the rabbit is snared. This is a very old Chinese image of putting out a rabbit trap to catch a rabbit. The old hunters, the hunters of old. And once you've caught the rabbit, you need to take care of that, preparing the rabbit so you can have food. If you carry around the snare, what you caught the rabbit with the whole time, it becomes an entanglement. It gets in the way. You needed the rabbit, not the snare, not the trap. So in other words, using all of these things, our practice, these symbols, these pictures, these words, this pain. And yet, at one point in our practice here, even these can be let go. Another metaphor, an image. The net abandoned once the fish is caught. Very easy to understand, huh? When you've caught the fish, you don't walk around with a net over your head, huh? Again, like gold from dross. In other words, when you go panning for gold, there is a lot there, but only a little bit of is actually the pure gold that you want. So, in a sense, you have to separate the gold from the dross. And yet, they're really not two different things. Or moon emerging from the clouds. In other words, the gold was there all along. The moon was behind the clouds, whether we see it or not. What we seek is there all along. It is just in need of realizing. That's what practice is. Not bringing something into existence, not creating some wonderful dream or fantasy, but simply coming home to what really is. The final line, the single beam, again a metaphor of light, like from the moonlight, huh? A single beam shines prior to creation. The prior to creation is important. People who don't understand take this as the glow of the natural self or something like this, huh? No, it is not that at all. This is beyond the glow of any self. It is the glow that comes prior to creation and thus really shines forth here and now. It cannot be concealed. The poetry. Astride the ox. This is from the previous picture number 6. Riding the ox. Astride the ox. The hills of home at last. Huh? It's clear. There they are. Your home. The hills of home at last. Ox vanished. Gone. You are at ease. Sun already high in the sky. It literally says the sun several poles high. They used to measure the day by how high in the season the sun rose, measuring it as Chinese would do very practically with a pole. So the obvious sense here is the sun has already risen way high in the sky. Anyone working was already up long ago. But you still sleep. Sun already high in the sky, yet you dream on. This is the dream of awakening, though. Rope and whip idly lie under thatched roof. Those things that were so helpful now are lying idly, not used, on the wall. Once again, I will read first the prose, then the poem. There are not two dharmas, and the ox symbolic. The trap is left once the rabbit is snared, caught. The net abandoned once the fish is caught. Like gold from dross, or moon emerging from clouds, they're there all along, just in need of realizing. The single beam shines prior to creation. If I may ask you, what or who is this single beam shining prior to creation? The poem. Astride the ox, riding the ox, the hills of home at last. Ox vanished, you're at home, or you're at ease. Sun already high in the sky, yet you dream on. Rope and whip idly lie under the thatched roof. This, number 7, the ox forgotten, man alone. It's a marvelous moment on the way. The sheer joy of picture 6 has now matured into a quiet evening at home in deep thanks and appreciation. No stench, no smell of Zen at all. This is a marvelous moment on the way. This alone. No representation, representing. There's no representing. There is just what is, and that is enough. That suffices. Nothing to represent, to represent outside or inside. Speaking of the 10 ox herding or bull pictures, we might say here it becomes clear this week's theme. We might speak of it in good American English as no bull. Do you understand? We often use the term bull or bullshit, huh? As something which is not genuine, huh? Well, here, there is no bull. The other important point to see here is that the ways, the methods, the means, the practice, as important as they were, now have been left, as again the symbol. They're hanging on the wall there. Maybe a nice memento. Maybe we'll give them to people that come along later. But they're not needed. The rope, the whip, they're hanging on the wall, idly, not used. In other words, the way, the path, the discipline, having mastered that, having completely digested that, then, as it says, it's naturally abandoned. It's let go of. We don't walk around shouldering our means, our ways, huh? There is a time where we must let them go. I would put it, don't let the ways get in the way. The way, the practice, the methods are very valuable, but don't let them get in the way. My first Zen teacher very precisely stated it this way. The ego self can corrupt, can stain, can dirty. The ego self can corrupt anything it comes into contact with. We all know this, don't we? The most sublime and wonderful thing, the ego self can corrupt anything it comes into contact with. Even the most marvelous ways, even the pure practice of Zazen, if we bring our self to it. In deep respect to here, the mission house at Stale, the great Catholic mystic Meister Eckhart, who at some point in his life was active not very far from here, put it this way. Whoever is seeking God by ways is finding ways and losing God, who in ways is hidden. Again, he's not denying the ways, but don't let the way get in the way. Use it thoroughly, so thoroughly that there's nothing left. The rice crackers are no more on the table. Have they been digested? The bird sings. The mountain stillness deepens. Here for number 7, the ox forgotten, man alone. Slept so soundly I didn't hear a thing. Slept so soundly I didn't hear a thing. Why don't the pictures end here? Why doesn't the practice end here? We've already mastered the practice and let it go. Isn't that enough? Well, as you know, there's 3 more, or else I've run out of time. Why those last 3 pictures? The 8th picture, man and ox, both forgotten. If you look, it's simply the picture of a circle with nothing inside it. May look to you almost like a mirror. No man, no person, no ox either. Nothing. The prose. Worldly sentiment, or in other words, delusion, worldly emotions, the same term basically means delusions, illusions or delusions. Worldly sentiment or delusion shed, fallen away, dropped away. Empty even of holy intent. No lingering where Buddha abides, quickly passing where no Buddha is. Not stuck in either. The 1,000 eyes cannot spy or perceive. 100 birds offering flowers. What a shame. Once again. worldly sentiment or delusion shed, dropped away. All self-centered conditions are dropped away. Empty even of holy intent. But here with this eighth picture, there's not even any sense of holy, spiritual, religious intention left. Not the least bit. Nothing worldly, but nothing otherworldly either. Those two lines are a famous Zen phrase. Worldly sentiments or delusions shed, empty even of holy intent. The next two lines are also very famous. No lingering staying. No lingering where Buddha abides. If there's a Buddha, you may know in the Mahayana Sutras it often speaks of the Buddha worlds. It's almost like a whole universe where a certain Buddha abides and does good. It's symbolic. So here it's cutting through that notion. No lingering where Buddha abides. If there's any smell of satori or enlightenment, we don't stay there. The second line, quickly passing where no Buddha is. Of course, if there's no Buddha there, we quickly pass by that as well. The next line makes it clear, huh? Not stuck in either. And thus, no man, no ox, just the empty circle. The thousand eyes cannot spy or perceive. The thousand eyes is a common metaphor for the bodhisattva of compassion, Avalokiteshvara, Kuan Yin or Kannon. Here it can also mean the eyes of the world. But at any rate, the point is, there's no crack where something special can be seen at all. The thousand eyes cannot spy or perceive. It doesn't say what. If I may ask you, what? Then the final image. 100 birds offering flowers. What a shame. This goes back to a famous Buddha who was so profoundly enlightened that it was said hundreds of birds would gather from a distance and come and offer flowers as he sat in meditation. And so, of course, he became very known in the area, and people would come and see him sitting in glowing meditation and the birds bringing flowers. It's a wonderful Buddhist image. However, it says, when he finally completed his practice, the birds didn't come anymore. There was no need for that show. He was just one of us. Humorously, that is being shown here. Even the most spectacular powers or virtues. 100 birds offering flowers. We might translate, how embarrassing. If that's still there, oh, it's shameful, embarrassing. Remember the notion of not staying where the Buddha is, quickly passing by where there's no Buddha. And empty even of holy intent. This is it, huh? The poem. Whip and rope, man and ox, all gone. vast azure, the blueness of the sky, huh? Vast azure heavens, beyond reckoning, beyond calculation. Huh? Snowflakes can't survive the flaming furnace. Here, truly one with the masters of old. Once again, whip and rope, the implements, the methods, the ways that we used. Huh? Even man and ox, all gone. In other words, all conditions, all relative conditions have fallen away. Vast azure heavens, beyond reckoning, cannot even be calculated. Huh? Snowflakes can't survive the flaming furnace. At this point, even if something comes, it's like a snowflake falling on a stove. Huh? It just melts immediately. It has no real substance. There's no way. There's nothing for it to do but melt. Like snowflakes now falling on a hot furnace or a stove. What need for the whip or the rope? Here, truly one with the masters of old. No separation from the masters of old. That circle, the picture for number 8, man and ox both forgotten, this empty circle like a mirror, is it reflecting nothing? Or is it reflecting everything? Is there a difference? Is all really present, not represented, reflected, not represented, but present? Is all really present for the first time? The bird sings. The mountain stillness deepens. Even deeper still, boundlessly boundless.